this season and even during the season of the other religion, so many messages are put out from those in elected offices encouraging that those values be embraced. But we also often wonder why the results trickling down from those offices are in contradiction of the expectations of the followership. But let's talk about the role of the men in cassock also themselves, either adorned physically or by conviction. And I'm asking this because, you know, you have even had cause to take a swipe at clerics who support elected officials who rig themselves in office. And also in recent times, the minister of the FCT has had cause to also be critical of churches who neglect public office holders after they leave office. That statement, you know, cannot be ignored without cause for reflection about what exactly is going on, you know, behind the scenes that would have necessitated that kind of comment. So my question is, what comes to your mind when you reflect on this? And are there opportunities, you know, for truth-telling among members of the cassock, you know, beyond the microphones, beyond the pulpit, about what really their conduct should be in reflecting the values yet again of the season that we're talking about?
Amin, thank you so much for that very important question. Let me start from here. There's an old saying that you cannot be more Catholic than a Pope. Jesus himself had 12, and among the 12, there was one who was a thief. So I want us to understand that while religious leaders have roles to play in demonstrating the life of integrity, as the Bible adjoins us in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, that the one who desires the office of a bishop must be blameless and listed other qualities, we must also understand that people choose to become what they want to become. However, the one who stands to represent God must do so in integrity of heart, in order to have a life that convicts people, you see. And that, in essence, tells demands from us, puts a demand from us, including myself, as church leaders, to represent and live the kind of life that is worthy of commanding the needed integrity that we want to see in the society, by first demonstrating what we want to see in our lifestyle, or through our lifestyle, all right? That, I mean, the Bible says if we suffer, we should not suffer as thieves and all that. So that the cleric now knows that a responsibility is on me as a pastor, not just to be loud when I hold the mic, but to be loud with a lifestyle that commands integrity, such that we will be able to call to order where we should call to order. Now, he that pays the piper dictates the tune. And that tells us that the relationship between the cleric and political office holders in terms of money must be one that should be cut.
You referenced earlier on that Jesus had just 3+ years for his ministry, died 33 thereabouts by the records. And I think that just places a huge burden on young people, particularly young Nigerians. And I just want to ask you, does that imply that the salvation of our nation may just be on the shoulders of young people?
I mean, in all honesty, I think we need to first and foremost understand that Nigeria is still young as a nation, historically now. I'm currently in London. I'm
looking at things here, and I'm saying, in all honesty, while these nations have the hype, we should thank God for Nigeria. Let's start from there. Okay, sometimes people who maybe have not stepped outside the shores just believe that maybe there are some gold somewhere on the trees and everywhere here. All right, but we must also understand it is not about being young. Some young people are more crooks than those who they call crooks. It is about carrying the lifestyle and the needed knowledge, the balance, all right, to lead the nation to where it should go. So age does not directly impact that. Anyone who has what it takes should get there. And I think because of the complexity of Nigeria, experience should also not be underrated. All right, so we need young people, yes. But we need young people who are not crooks, yes. We need young people who have the needed knowledge, yes. We need young people who have the needed experience, yes. So not just about being young.
Pastor Lazarus, there's another question that maybe let's get back into the church hall this time, because that whatever happens in the church hall or within the space of the church affects the society in general. So since we're talking about young people, maybe you help young people identify fake pastors, help them decipher and discern fake pastors who are gaming the faith. How can they do that? Because some are gullible.
I mean, the Bible is very clear on that. So since the Bible is very clear, what I'm just going to say about that is that the emergence of fake pastors or whatever is powered by the presence of fake Christians who have failed to know the truth for themselves. All right, since the Bible is clear as touching the distinct character of the wolf apart from the shepherd, it is important that we study for ourselves and find out what the Bible says. And when you understand what the Bible says, then you will not be a victim of fake and false pastors, as it implies.
Amazing. fake pastors. I'm doing a double take on your submission. Fake pastors thrive as a result of fake Christians. So Christians must reflect on their originality status, especially at this time. Let's go to the followership now, as we reflect again on the values of the season. What options are open to them to put the leadership to account as they continue to, advocate really and pray for the yearnings that they desire, you know, at this point in time and even beyond the season?
I mean, bread is not sold differently for Christians as it is sold to Muslims. The price of petrol is not different based on religion. So I'd rather speak as a citizen, that we have the responsibility, really, as citizens of Nigeria, to hold our public officers to account. All right? We have the responsibility, so it goes beyond church. And but you know, it is difficult when kettle is calling pot black. Nigeria is not where it is just for public officers. Nigeria is where it is also for the crowd that wants small things. When people begin to demand for more, and when you demand for bigger things, you reject small things. You will understand that bread, rice, and t-shirt and cap is nothing compared to 4 years of the leadership of someone who knows what it is to lead a nation in the right direction. So when the people understand that this is where we want to go, and they hold to account and insist on that, then public officers will adjust. And that's my take on that.
You know, you resonate with this season, not just by conviction, not just by faith, but also by name. I mean, you have come forth on the one hand, and you know, Lazarus in the Bible experienced resurrection as well. So first, let me just say thank you for coming forth on the Morning Brief.
But thank you so much.
A lot of people see you online. They love what you do. You have sort of found a way to get a lot of young people interested in, you know, Christianity. So through those videos, they are very short, but they're incisive, passes the message across, and people, you know, it leaves them yearning for more and also exploring to find their own conviction. But not a lot of people know about your personal story. You've talked about the personal story of Paul, but give us an insight. It's very rare for pastors to share personal stories for obvious reasons, because they're all about Christ and the faith. But we also need to hear some part of your story. So for a lot of people who are thinking, nah, you probably just dropped from heaven, the angels literally dropped you in an Uber, you also had your own experience before you've become who you are today. So what is that high point of your story you might want to share with us today?
I mean, thank you so much for that question. I'd refer to myself as one whose life started from the lowest point. So I can relate. I understand what it means to go through life and not have an assurance if the future is really certain. And I think probably that's where the message kind of connects with people. As one who had been at the point of committing suicide with several attempts and then rescued by grace and then saved by the grace of God, as one who had no expectation really of a future, because I thought I would have killed myself before getting there. So I know what the low, what it means to be at the lowest point. And I also know what it means for the grace of God to save one and bring one into the fold. And I think maybe what we are doing differently is to bring the gospel in a way that connects with day-to-day living and the experience of the people and the practical application of the message, so that we are not abstract. And I think that's where my life is coming from. And like Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And we are still on a journey, all right, to where God is taking us to.
Okay. As we begin to wind down, there's a question for you. But before I ask the question, as you're answering the question, maybe also speak to what is considered personality cultism in the Christian faith, which is basically about people literally maybe going beyond borders to literally close to idol worship their quote-unquote men of God. Maybe you have to speak to that as well. But this person says, Good Friday morning bridge show. My question is, even as we celebrate this Easter period, that what should be our attitude towards the Easter season? Because some are of the opinion that since it is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ we are celebrating, it should be a period of mourning. Should that really be it, sir? So he wants to be sure, if somebody's dying, why are we celebrating, perhaps?
I mean, there's a lot to celebrate, because he died, yes, but he didn't stay dead. He rose. He rose never to die again. And the Bible said when he rose, we also rose with him, in essence, from the grave. So that's what we are celebrating. We are celebrating life, not death. Okay? That's the essence, really. Do I answer to the issue of personality cultism?
Yes, now? Please. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So it's in two ways, really. First is in the part of the clergy. I think the form of leadership demonstrated really to an average African is the monarchical system, where there's a king and then there are people following. But that is not what the Bible demonstrates. We have Jesus that lived as a man and then ate with people, had day-to-day conversation, interacted with people. So in essence, that is the call on us. We have not been called as celebrities. Rather, we have been called as leaders. I mean, I remember recently one of my videos was misunderstood and misconstrued by the general public, where I spoke about the need, all right, for certain structures in church. And then why not? Why can't there be protocols? Not bodyguards, you see. But I don't want to go there into that. People sometimes, because of gratitude, tend to overstep the boundary of communicating gratitude. And sometimes there are some who create the structure for their own agenda. All right. But what I say now is that we must understand that times are changing and we are facing a generation with a very unique challenge, that our operations and our style must change to meet with the unique demands of that generation. It is time for the shepherd to smell as the sheep, all right? And then that's the balance I'm going to bring to that.
Quite insightful, Pastor Femi Lazarus, lead pastor of Self-Light Church. Thank you so much for your insight, and we'll continue to watch those videos and get more insight. Lots of young people like you, we must say that, and I'm sure they are rooting for you. But most thank you for taking our time to bring to us the importance and the essence of this particular season, and wish you the very, very best as you progress in your journey of ministry. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's it on that particular conversation. Of course, we'll switch gears now after this break. He's already here with us. He's really eccentric in everything you can talk about as far as his style is concerned and his music. His name, Testimony Jagger, joins us after this break. Join us again.